Good morning. Welcome to the Gathering Place podcast. I am Pastor Todd. This week, Pastor Byron is preaching a message to edify the church. I hope you are edified as well. And now, Pastor Byron.
And Jesse gave us a little prelude to that. I asked her, you know what? When the armies went to battle, they heard the drums. And I asked her, the drummer hard out, now, right before the word comes forward. So, Jesse, just drum in the spirit right now. Just drum in the spirit. Amen. 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 The subject of this morning is humility. Where does that come from? What does the scriptures say about it? Well, in preparing the message, the Holy Spirit came to me and gave me a phrase that we're going to start this message off with. Just a simple phrase. And that phrase is, pride says to the humble, you are foolish. The humble say to the proud, you will fall. Amazing saying, but what's behind that? What's behind that? And where does humility come from? What's the source behind walking humbly with your God? You know, I spent 21 years in a Southern Baptist church and teaching the Word of God at that Southern Baptist church. And if we know anything about the Southern Baptist church, those who are called upon to teach Sunday school teach Genesis to Revelation every 7 years. And God had this assignment for me to spend 21 years in a Southern Baptist church teaching adult Sunday school and then college and career. And that 21 years, I was called upon to teach Genesis to Revelation 3 times over. And then the assignment ended. And Nancy and I moved on to what was known as the Barclays Group at our home. After many years at the Southern Baptist Church, one Sunday, Nancy and I were leaving the church, and one of the members of that church came up to me and asked me to forgive him. And I said, I couldn't figure out where is this going to? What is it? Why is he asking me to forgive him? And he said, for years, knowing you, sitting in your classes, and learning from you, I thought that you were the proudest man I've ever met. And I was so angry and upset with you for years. Because he says, I thought you had a spirit of pride. Then, he said, one night I was home thinking about all that the Lord had for me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Byron is not proud. He has an intimate, close walk with me. Now, how do we validate that in Scripture? What we're going to be looking for is the source of humility. And what we're going to discover as we look through these scriptures as the source of humility is a product of intimacy with Jesus. That's a product of walking, talking, and studying His Word and knowing His truth. The more that we know about Jesus and our God, humility is the product. Yeah. That's a product of walking with him. In Numbers 12:3, it says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." And we'd have to say, you know, his mother saw greatness in him, and he put the child in a little self-made boat and shoved him off into the Nile River, where he was discovered in the palace of Egypt. And he spent 40 years in the palace of Egypt. And he learned much, and he was treated like a son of the Pharaoh. Then he discovered part of his identity, and he killed an Egyptian and fled for his life and spent 40 years learning to be a shepherd. And then he had a burning bush experience where he was confronted with the God who knew him and gave him the destiny for his life. And he faced the greatest power on earth, Egypt, and said, "Let my people go." From the view of the Pharaoh, he thought him proud. But in God's kingdom, he was humbly serving the Lord and speaking out deliverance for a whole nation. Think about it. Think about that source of humility was knowing and doing the will of God. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2, "Remember how the Lord your God led you out all the way into the wilderness for 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." Here's in that journey, as Moses was leading them for 40 years, God was trying to extract out of the people of Israel humility. Humility. And how is that defined? That to whether or not you will serve the Lord completely in your heart. Then in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." So the journey all of us have been placed on is this journey of knowing him, knowing his great love for us, knowing his mercy on us. And in the result of knowing that, humbling ourselves and turning to God and turning it away from the world. We move on. In Psalms 147:6, "The Lord the Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground." You know, it's this intimacy with Jesus, this intimacy in calling our Father, our Abba Father, will take us in this journey of humbly serving him. And the Lord is saying, "I'll sustain that person. I'll hold that person up. I'll be with him all the days of his life." And in Psalms 149:4 says, "For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory." Are we lacking victory in our life? Cling to Jesus. Turn to the Father. Turn to him. Start giving him all of your life. And then that product of that will be humbly approaching his throne. And then victory comes. Victory comes. that in Daniel, the Lord kind of led me over to Daniel. And Daniel chapter 2 is what we have is the king Nebuchadnezzar, I believe, had a disturbing dream. And it bothered him. It stayed with him. Now, here's a man that had no use for the God that we know, and yet a dream came to him, and it disturbed him. And in that dream, he came to the wise men of Babylon, those people that were probably were getting all their information from the devil. And he called them all, these soothsayers and wise men and people. It says, he gathered them and said, "Hey guys, I had this dream and it's really disturbed me. And I had this dream, but I'm not going to tell you the dream. I'm not going to tell you the dream. You tell me the dream and give me the interpretation." And they held their hands up and said, "Man, no one can do that." They wanted a little assistance from the king. You know, at least tell us the dream, and then we'll come up with some interpretation. He said, "No, you're not going to get it. You're not. You tell me the dream, and you tell me the interpretation." And the king became furious. He said, "Why do I have all these guys around me giving me counsel, giving me direction? And they can't even, they're saying, no one can tell you the dream and tell you the interpretation." He said, he came out of his mouth, "Kill them all. Kill them all. Get them out of my sight. Destroy all these wise men of Babylon." Well, the word came to Daniel. He heard about it. He heard what was happening. And he gathered the three, you know, those guys that are thrown in the fiery furnace. He gathered them together and had a conversation with them, found in Daniel 2, 17 to 19. It goes as this: "Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azaria. I like Shem, Ham, and Jacob better, but that's the way it is there. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During that night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And Daniel, the result of that, Daniel lifted up his hands and Daniel praised the God of heaven." What did he do after that was revealed? What he did is he went to the leaders of Babylon and said, "I want to seek redemption for all those wise men that are of the enemy. I want to seek their redemption. And I want access to the king. And I will tell him his dream and the meaning of it." What I'm trying to say here in Daniel is a boldness in knowing the God of the universe that you and I know, that brought forth the fruit of humility. And what I mean by that is, not only did he seek to be in presence of the king, but he wanted to save the lives of all the wise men in Babylon. And to me, it's like fearlessly, because humility is fearless, to go before the king with the confidence he had gained from seeking the Lord his God and then have the dream revealed. He went before the king. Imagine that. Imagine that. If If you and I had to go before the king and we had a vision from God to reveal that to the king, I think that'd be a little frightening. I hope I'm hearing right. I hope I heard right. Only the king knows the dream he had. But I'm praising God that it was revealed to me. So he went. I believe in humility, the fruit of knowing God himself. And revealed the dream to the king. And the dream revealed is actually the dream the king had. And actually, we won't go in that. If you gotta read it for yourself, it's very exciting. It talks about this image and actually the future of the known world then. But we don't have time for that this morning because we're talking about humility. Now, if I was to say, if we looked at Moses being the most humble person on the planet Earth, if we looked at scriptures that talked about victories in humility and God's sustaining powers in humility, and there comes a confidence in our hearing prophetically from the Lord, and this intimacy with Jesus is the closer we get to him, humility becomes part of our life. Then I'd have to say this. I have to look into the scriptures and define for myself who really is the most humble person I could ever know. And in that searching, I would have to say Jesus is the most humble person I could ever know. And I need to reap from his life walking in humility before my God. John chapter 1:1-5 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was not been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness has not overcome it." And I have to let my mind dream a little bit and let my mind go somewhere and go into the heavenlies. And as I go into the heavenlies, I see Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit in the heavenlies. And I hear the command out of heaven, "Now is the time. Now is the time. My son, Jesus, the Son of the living God, now is the time for you to go and become a man." All the words spoken forth is now the time for you to enter a woman's body and become a man. Now is the time. Now, and I can hear the accolades in heaven. I can hear the angels rejoicing, knowing what the outcome would be of God becoming a man and dwelling amongst us. I can hear the send-off. I can hear the drum roll. I can hear the instruments in heaven playing, and that now is the time. And now is the time. He was humbled to become a man, humbled to become a man and dwell amongst us. He was protected in the womb of a woman. He was protected from being annihilated by a governor in Jerusalem. He was protected by the Holy Spirit that was watching over him. He was to become the Son of Man and the Son of God. Jesus is the most humble person I could ever know. Leaving heaven's glory and coming down to this earth and becoming a man, knowing and revealed to him what the outcome would be for him. The next time, in John 1:14, also the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's my Jesus. That's our Jesus. The most humble person that ever walked the planet. Then we find him, we don't have much of a record between then and 12 years old. But we have a record of 12 years old. It's found in Luke 2, 46 and 47. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So Jesus, this my hero, our hero, Jesus, at 12 years old, was having conversation with the greatest learned men in Jerusalem and asking them questions, discovering where their heart was, knowing that the heart of a man or a woman that's seeking first the kingdom of God will have product in their life of humility. And it says at this time of questions and answers and back and forth, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. So who's our go-to person? When we have the questions of life coming to us?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. I love it. There we go. Hey, we're coming. I almost become a Baptist church here. So then in John 2:5-7, we have a record of the water becoming wine. Actually, what's said is the first miraculous act that Jesus performed. Remember, Mary raised Jesus, Mary and Joseph, and she saw, she knew where he came from. He didn't come from a man, he came supernaturally from a virgin birth. And she raised that child, and she knew that child. And when it came, when they were at this big wedding feast, And the disaster came. They ran out of wine. And out of Mary's mouth came, "Do whatever he tells you." I mean, that should be marching orders for all of us as we grow in intimacy with Jesus, with the knowledge of knowing the Father. Because he will speak to us. He will lead us and he will guide us. It's up to us to humbly go before him and say, "Whatever you're telling me, I'll do. Whatever you're telling me, I'll do." You know, that's led me to, I don't want to go into all the crazies, but it led me into just moving into people's lives when they knew that all of a sudden Byron's there talking to me about Jesus. You know, I love Jesus. I love the power of his name. The power of his name to bring salvation to my life and to others' lives, to bring healing, to bring restoration. Well, they took Mary at her word, and Jesus told them, "Go fill some jugs with water, take the water and serve it at the wedding feast." What I love at the end of that passage is that the words that came out of the guest was, "You have saved the best till now." You know, this idea of walking humbly with the Lord always looks forward to better. The enemy would love us to spend time focusing on our failures of the past when God wants us to walk humbly with Him, know Him, love Him with all my heart, our heart, soul, and mind, and look forward to tomorrow's victories. The best is coming for you and I. Always. Always. Then in chapter 4, the disciples witness Jesus Christ walking in humility. What I mean by that, in chapter 4, he sent them off into town to get some food and supplies, and him alone met a Samaritan woman. And he started questions again. Remember back at chapter 12? At 12 years old, asking questions of the leaders? He was asking questions of her and finding out and revealing to her who she was. And then revealing to her who he was. Now the interesting thing is, the disciples, when they came back with the supplies and saw him talking to the Samaritan woman, they said, "We don't understand this." You know what? It was humility being revealed right before our eyes that Jesus, born a Jew, the Son of God, would have a conversation with somebody, not only that she was a woman, but she was despised woman from the Jewish perspective. It takes the man of humility to spend time with a woman that had failed over and over and over and over again and reveal himself to her. And she went in the town shouting to the housetops, "I think and I believe I've met the Messiah." John chapter 9. He heals a blind man, blind from birth, not by an accident, not by some reason losing his sight. He never saw from the day he was born. And Jesus gave him instructions to just go to the pool, wash your eyes, and you'll see. So I'm sure somebody guided him to that pool, and his eyes were open. That caused a great ruckus in the town. Even that the leaders, the religious leaders at the time, called this man in and wanted to say, you know, what happened here? What happened here? He said, "All I know, I was born blind and now I see. That's all I know. Who did this? I don't know. Do you want to know him? Maybe you want to know him." And the anger got built up in that whole conversation. They even brought his parents in. "Is he telling the truth?" "Oh, yes, he's telling the truth. We don't know how. He's old enough. Let him speak for himself." You know, Jesus, the humble servant of God, would not leave that man wondering who did it. Because Jesus, and by the way, backing up, what we're finding out is there is a battle between those self-made people that are full of pride and those that want to walk in humility. And what's obvious in this conversation in the temple with the blind man is the hostility from those who did not want to believe. And the grace on the blind man that was healed that had no clue on who did it. But this humble servant Jesus that we follow sought him out, and had a conversation with him. And he said, I wish I knew who did this for me, who told me to go to the pool, who told me to wash my eyes, that I could see again. I wish I knew. And Jesus revealed himself to him. He said, I'm the one that did it. I am the Son of the living God. And he came to know him. Make sure I didn't skip any pages here. I don't want to leave anything out this morning. In conclusion, Philippians 2:8, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. That's why he's my humble servant. He's the one that I follow and you follow and we follow. It's Jesus, the humbled himself, being become obedient to death, even the death on the cross. That was the greatest display of Jesus' humility. Remember, he was the Son of God. All power and authority had been given to him, and he let men mock him. True humility won't be moved by scornful words and mocking words and hurtful words over you and me. They have no place. Jesus proved it. In the appearance of man, he humbled himself, even being obedient to death on the cross. James 4:10, humble yourself, therefore, before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord. That's giving us more clues into the mystery of knowing him and intimacy with him. Humble yourself, not before men, not before women, before the Lord. Humble yourself before him, and he will lift you up. He will lift you up. So humility, again, is defined as a product of knowing Jesus Christ and knowing the Father and knowing the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within you and me. And then in 1 Peter 5:6, very similar. Two guys, James, Peter, very similar. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. You know, that's taking even a further step forward, knowing and acknowledging that you know a God that can do mighty works in you, that's more, way more powerful than any word spoken over you from the enemy. You know him who gave up his life that we might have life, and life more abundantly. We can know him, and it will be no problem walking life in humility. Humbly. You know, knowing him will allow you to love your enemies and do good to those who persecute you. Knowing him will not allow words spoken over you negatively, that they have no effect. It's what God says over you, not what men or women have said over you, not what maybe parents have said over you, not what brothers might have said over you. It's we go and gravitate to what does God say over me in my life. I will turn to the Lord. He is defender of my life. He's the one I want to walk life with and through him. He's the one that rewards the diligent that seek after him. He's the one that lifts me up. He's the one that is my Lord and my Savior and my God. He's the one that sustains me, empowers me, loves me, including pride says, I can do this on my own. How many times in life do we, and you and I, try to do things on our own? When we have the power source within us to be more than victorious in life. When we have the power to live above the circumstances. Pride says, I can do it on my own. Proverbs says, when pride comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride destroys a nation. Humility brings restoration to a nation. Humility says to you and me, I will trust the Lord in all things. Humility says to you and me, I will trust the Lord in all things. So I'm wondering now, in conclusion, do you on Zoom and us here, are we nurturing that relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ? Are we connecting, allowing ourselves to be so connected with Him that the product out of our life will be humbly walking with our God? And that means we're in a place of safety. We're in a place of safety. That also means that words spoken over us that might deem to be destructive are now destroyed. In conclusion, would you want to know the one that will sustain you, that will lift you up and hold you in every difficulty of life? There's an open invitation. There's an open invitation to all of us to connect with the Father through Jesus Christ. You never know. Do you want to be a Moses? Do you want to be a Daniel? Do you want to be an apostle that spoke about this? Do you want to know that you're protected? And I love what John was praying. You can come out. We're ready. What John was singing, love, 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 love. He's saying love, 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 love. And to know that you're loved and to know that you're loved by God and loved by Him, and that you are more than a victor through Christ who strengthens us. I'm just wondering, is there somebody on Zoom or somebody here, you need to turn to Him. Turn to Him and not allow circumstances to dictate who you are in this life. Not allow it. Don't allow it. Allow the presence of God to fill your life and to know Jesus, to know the perfect one, that the perfect one to, in my heart, is the most humble person that ever walked on the planet Earth, and to say, I will follow you. To have a connection with Him is just a simple prayer. Father, forgive me for just not allowing Jesus to come into my heart. I want to receive him and receive the sacrifice he made on my behalf to put me in absolute confident relationship with you, Father. And I want to receive that love and forgiveness from you, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Come into my life and be the power source of my life, that I will live more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I hope somebody on Zoom maybe prayed that prayer. If you prayed that prayer, you will have relationship with an amazing God that is fully in love with you. And as you develop that relationship, one of the fruits of knowing him and having that relationship, you will truly walk humbly with your God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God keep you, and God restore you daily in Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Todd. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I pray the Lord uses today's message by Pastor Byron to strengthen your walk with God. If you were blessed by this message and would like to support the ministry of The Gathering Place financially, I encourage you to use our online giving portal at tgpchicago.org. Our portal uses PayPal's secure site, so none of your information is compromised. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Gathering Place podcast. God bless you, and have a great week.